Oh, necked it.
Actually, that gets a kick forwards into the right.
That intentional runner, it's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
April 23rd, Andrew, we are back on the Friendly Banter podcast presented by Banty. April's gone. I don't know what occurred there, but how are you?
I'm good, Tom. I missed you last week. I know you've been on a journey of your own, but it's good. What is it, April showers bring May flowers?
Yeah, it's been pouring in New York.
Has it?
Yeah.
I'm officially now out in Colorado for a few weeks. So I actually sort of just caught the tail end of ski season last weekend. I got closing day at Vail, so I'm feeling good. Now I'm officially ready for spring golf.
Yeah, it's bike season, it's golf season, surfing season, maybe upcoming.
Coming.
Okay, cool. It's absolutely been dumping pretty much every week. We've had a few good weekends. I haven't been here for any of them. Yeah, it's been a physical, a mental, existential, I wouldn't say emotional journey yet, but I could see that happening, yeah, in the next 2 months.
I forget what it's called, like a Chautauqua. Do you know that word?
What's that?
It's like a walkabout.
Not familiar. How do you spell it?
C-H-A-T-A. I think CQUA.
The only thing popping up is what seems to be a very nice town in upstate New York, which maybe I should check out. No, I'm gonna need to look more into this. Maybe get an explanation. What am I looking for here?
I might even have the wrong word here, but it's basically like a trip that one takes to find themselves, so to speak. Mm.
I would say that was definitely Cabot Cliffs for me. That would be my Chautauqua, if that's the word, and we can confirm that later. Okay. I was just in Kansas City last weekend. I won't say it was that. I did not find myself in Kansas City. To quote the Mowglis with their hit song Kansas City, I'm not missing Kansas City. I think I probably found myself in Cabot, which is a whole other thing. I could talk about Nova Scotia quite a lot if you want to just devote a whole episode to it. Been reading a lot about their economic development, cultural history, architect. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, we got to put that behind the paywall.
Yeah, that's a premium sub. You have to pay for JSTOR for
what did you? What was going on in Kansas City?
Quick shout out to the University of Vermont Catamounts women's club volleyball team. My sister is a junior on that team. Their NCVF national championships were this past weekend in Kansas City. Like 12 total divisions of volleyball, 6 on the women's side, 6 on the men's side, 60 games ongoing at any one time, starting on Thursday morning through like Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Legitimately insane. So that I was in town to see my sister play. My good friend of the program, Eric Corcoran, works for the Kansas City Chiefs. So my parents were like, next year's in Scottsdale. We want to go to that one. And we know you have free lodging in Kansas City. So wink, wink, you should go. We suggest that you go to Kansas City. I had a fantastic time. Like, it was one of the cooler weekends I've had in a long time.
But it
definitely won't be like flying back to Kansas City anytime soon.
I've seen those like volleyball weekends. They're wild.
Insane. I have, like, I mean, I grew up in the, like, we grew up in the youth sports world. Like, there's the closest thing I can compare it to. I don't know if this is a reference that'll hit for a lot of people. The Marlboro Sports Center, the 8-rink hockey facility in Marlboro, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Every weekend in the winter, there's some kind of tournament there. But that's only 8 rinks, and they're all spread out. Like, I was in the Kansas City Convention Center, which is this airport hangar, basically. And literally, there's 63 games going on at once. Like, it's pure chaos.
Yeah, it's got to be so loud, those balls, like, squeaking.
So loud. I mean, I got hit in the head, like, 4 times. People are getting hit left and right. There's a whistle every 3 seconds. Like, screaming. There's music for pregame warm-ups. Like, dudes are walking around with speakers everywhere. Legitimately insane. It was cool. Like, catching some of those D1 games, D1 club, but like, these were big dudes.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool. I've never seen anything like it.
How'd your sister's team end up?
So they were definitely there for fun more than to chase a Division II title. I think they went like 2-8. We only got to see one win because they won one game on Thursday and I landed Thursday night. Sarah played well, like, shout out. I like, really good serving weekend, which is kind of her thing. But they were really there to kind of enjoy the weekend. UVM, it happened to be 4:20 on Saturday. Yeah, they probably had other priorities than winning a D2 national title.
Yeah. Did you get out to explore the town at all?
So, like, this is a reference. I'm just going to keep hammering the Northeast references in this episode, and maybe they'll stick with some people out there. Kansas City was great. My best comparison that'll definitely hit for you: if Hartford got really good, like downtown true Hartford, if it got really, really good at the sake of Avon, Farmington, West Hartford, Canton, all of those towns. So imagine if you surrounded Hartford with just East Hartford.
Right.
But Hartford itself was great. Like, that's what I would describe Kansas City as.
And were you on the Kansas side or the Missouri side?
Both. So Eric lives in Overland Park, Kansas.
Yeah.
Which is like perfect suburbia USA. But the stuff is in Missouri. Like, downtown is in Missouri. The Chiefs Stadium is in Missouri. The breweries that are popping up are Missouri. So
I know I've been there a couple of times. Shout out Zach. I've been to Prairie Village, which I imagine is pretty similar. I think they're all the Smeester, Shawnee Mission East and like West and North and South and whatever. That's all like the Kansas City side. But I actually visited KU one time. I think we went to Dave and Buster's. It was an absolute blast.
Yeah, that's like, a lot of people were like, God, it must have been so boring out there in Kansas. Like, all my New York City people. And I was like, I drink and watch sports. Like, that's what I do here. I could live in Kansas City and have a very good time.
Yeah.
Totally. So, shout out. It's a great sports town. Like, the people eat, sleep, breathe sports, which is cool. Soccer is a huge thing. I definitely could enjoy myself there.
Yeah, especially now with the Chiefs. I feel like Kansas City's got a lot going for it these days.
Yeah, the stadium, like, economy, that could be its own episode too. Like, that could be an economy of sports episode. That was eye-opening. I think the Hunt family is probably close to the bottom of my list of sports owners after having seen that place and figuring out their true plans, because like it's nowhere. It's like most NFL stadiums, you have to surround it with acres and acres of parking, so there you can't have a ton near the stadium. But then it's just woods and like rundown houses. There's no restaurants. There's no business surrounding it.
Yeah,
it's like some of the poorest property like in that 2 or 3 county area. So I totally get why these people are like, F it. This guy wants to build VIP seating with our money. Like, no shot. So, really interesting.
I like it. Let's say that. We'll come back to that for another episode.
Lots we can get into. But a good week in the golfing world, too. It's a very popping sports time at the moment. We got NHL.
I would say momentous in the golf world.
Momentous is a great word for it. Either on the men's, women's, or like minor, junior side. you could pick from a number of different points, and I'll let you set the tone for the topic.
Yeah, I think it's really the combination. I mean, we're now a week and a half removed from the Masters. Obviously, Scotty just won again at Harbortown. I know we're a little bit more excited about Nelly Korda now winning five LPGA events in a row, including last week's Chevron Championship, a major. She is doing something super special right now. I think the big sort of combo of her and Scotty doing that together at the same time is momentous. Like it's just pretty special. Yeah. So I don't know. That's where I'll start. What do you have for us?
I think momentous is a great word. It's like, I think people, it's unfortunate because I think people might be starting to get a little bit bored. Like Scotty's obviously not the most interesting man in professional sports.
Yeah.
Nelly really isn't either. She's doing better with media coverage, but she's like just a pretty normal person who's incredible at golf. And obviously the media world does a terrible job of showing her golf.
So bad.
So we like it's the losing game from a lot of fronts. But momentous is really a good word to illustrate like how ridiculous this run is from both sides. And like we're getting the Tiger comparisons, but it's legitimate. Like we really haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah. It is cool.
Five times.
It is the best thing when they force you to go back and look at how crazy Tiger stats are.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh wait, this is nothing.
Doesn't scratch it.
And actually also more interesting, which I had forgotten about, was Annika on the women's side.
Yeah, I totally I didn't know that.
Like she was like from a separating herself from the pack, like very much in the same boat as what Tiger did.
Yeah.
And they were doing it, you know, for a while at the same time, which was super cool. I do think for Scotty, like it's funny, like people always try to defend like, dude, he is interesting. Like you're just not paying enough attention. Mm. And it's like, no, like he's for sure just super boring.
No, that's his thing.
Totally fine. But we were saying earlier, like Meredith needs to have that kid because we just need to mix it up. Like this run is awesome. It'll go down in history. And I'm ready to see what else can happen this year.
Yeah, I'm ready to like learn, like the history will be cool, but I'm ready to discuss the history 5 years from now. Like I'm over, it's done.
Yeah.
I saw like, it was unfortunate because I saw a lot of tweets on like Saturday and early Sunday, like, damn, you have this baby and it's a one stroke tournament from 2 through 15 with some of the best players in the world. Like you really have intrigue without this guy. So yeah, Meredith's not that pregnant, right? we saw her on TV in like February, March. She was pregnant, but she wasn't like, it's happening. And it's really unfortunate that the Masters media storm has like made the world think that this baby is coming. Like it's coming at some point, but it's not tomorrow.
Yeah, aren't like due dates a thing? Shouldn't we be able to figure this out?
I'm sure that Scotty like is well aware of when his firstborn is likely on the way.
Right.
Being the man that he is, he would not flirt with like staying an extra day in Harbortown if the due date was Tuesday. Like we're gonna know when this baby's supposed to come. And like due dates are very accurate these days. They won't really let you go past them, and they are very good about, you know, keeping the health of the baby. Like you're not gonna have a kid show up 2 months early or 1 month late anymore.
Yeah. And you know they're gonna have like an entire football team of people helping. Like Scotty has won, I think, $15 million this year already.
Yeah, Ted Scott could fund this baby's life. Like,
Ted Scott, his caddy, has over $1 million of $1 million winnings this year. I think Scotty's 2024 season, we're still in April, is like the fourth highest grossing season on the PGA Tour in history.
Yeah,
it is, it's bananas.
Yeah, he's breaking records in Q2, and Rory has made less than Ted Scott this year. Like, it's nuts. And Rory's made 1.7. Like, Rory's won in Dubai. Like, that's not a laughing. Like, that's he hasn't had a bad year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm ready for it to be done. I do want to shout out an aside about both of them, and I'll throw in a UConn shout out as well. Nike's media department is on a heater with the promos they're running for all these championships. Like, Nelly's was the future just rewrote history. That's so good. Scotty's from the Masters was like, very few get to walk in their own footsteps.
Yeah.
Heater. And then like, this championship is in honor of our last one for UConn. Like, Nike's feeling themselves again.
And it's funny because they're both TaylorMade athletes too.
Yeah.
I get confused now because I'm like, wait, are they, obviously Nike's now just doing apparel and other stuff, but yeah, it would be a really good time to be either anyone who's in the world or the business of Nelly and Scottie Scheffler is feeling pretty good.
Things are going good. I can't stress enough how insane it is. And we wanted to put into perspective, obviously Nelly's on 5 in a row. Scotty's a little bit different because he finished second in one of his. So he doesn't get the streak comparisons that Nelly gets in truth. But just thinking about some of the most unbelievable streaks in outside of the world of sports, because we're almost out of golf comparisons. Other than what Tiger has done, like, what's happening right now is sports momentous as well. So back to UConn, the women's basketball team won 126 straight regular season games and 111 like games in a row, including the postseason.
I remember that. That was like peak Geno. How many titles was that?
That is
probably like four.
Let's see. They've got so many streaks. They won like 70 and then 90 in a row too. I think it was four. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that sounds right. Because 111 regular season, or 111 total. Yeah, that's like three or four titles just in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sick.
So what would Nelly have to do to equal that? Like, is five golf tournaments, how many seasons of basketball is that? Keeping the parity in women's basketball at that time was,
I think it's like one. Like, I think there's like, because there's four majors and there's basically like five events between each major.
I like that.
I basically consider like each one of those like a season.
I like that.
So if you think about it that way, she basically just, and it's basically like the length of a college season.
Yeah, 3 months. Maybe. 3 months, a little less.
I mean, it's obviously like way different. I don't know what I want for Nelly, like from here out. Like, I kind of just like want her to win majors.
Yeah. I don't care about what comes next on the LPGA schedule.
Yeah.
I think the opposite for Scotty is what the LPGA is probably hoping for. PGA is hoping for a break, like get some blood. There's fandom a lot of places. Maybe like get someone with some intrigue in front of a microphone, like get Max a win in the next few weeks. I'm sure that LPGA headquarters is praying for this to continue. This is like, she is the marketing dream. Most of the LPGA is dominated by Koreans who the average American fan just doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Not gonna dive into knowing. If the LPGA can get Nelly to the US Open with this streak on the line, that's millions and millions in revenue for them.
Yeah. Well, they need to do way better.
Yeah, and they need to do way better at showing us Nelly Korda.
Yeah, the LPGA, the golf is really good, and it's a really compelling product.
Yeah.
But there are things about the, like, the television product that are, like, feel super lazy.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't invest the same amount, maybe for good reason, just in terms of the revenue it gives them. But, like, it's sort of a chicken or the egg there. Like, they're not going to get people to watch unless they put the investment in.
Yeah.
So whatever, they need to do more in terms of making those storylines more engaging. And then there is a bit of a problem where a lot of women are boring golfers. Like, yeah. It's just a smaller game.
Yeah.
So there's ways that they have to figure out how to make that more interesting. And one of them is also just, like, moving them along. They take so long to play.
So long. Yeah. But it was a nightmare last week. 6+ hours is not going to get crazy. Anybody. And you're so right that it's unfortunate, because I think the average male golfer should find the women's game so much more interesting. Yeah. But it's like the classic, like, it's so easy to go, like, boom, golf ball. Boom, he hits it far. Like, that's sick. Like, yo, that is so cool. Hybrid that I'm realistically going to have to hit as well to 20 feet. Not cool. Like, dudes dig the long ball, like, which is so dumb, because I find it so much more interesting to watch them hit these long irons into greens and hold them with ease. But it's just not marketable for a massive audience. Like, it might have to stay a small product for a while. Again, we don't know, because I can't watch it either way.
Right. Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. Hopefully, I wish Mike Wan would come back and take over the LPGA. He would have really thrived with Nelly in this moment. But any other, like, final, like, streak aspects we want to talk about? We want to get into the Corn Ferry weekend as well. But any final takes or major streaks you want to shout out?
Now, what were the others you were going to read off just for the audience?
I wanted to be a homer. Obviously, the Patriots won 10 straight playoff games between 2001 and 2005. That's a disgusting thing. Cal Ripken, obviously Iron Man, that's some of the bigger ones we all know.
Yeah.
Byron Nelson, of course, winning 11 straight is crazy. Brett Favre's 321 straight starts is, like, that feels like a made up thing. It doesn't feel possible in the NFL. That's so many games not to, like, have a significantly twisted ankle or need a rest for your shoulder. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I think Eli is number two there. I feel like Eli almost broke that.
Let me look that up. Yeah, all-time consecutive starts. Eli got up to Philip Rivers started 240 consecutive regular season games, 250 consecutive games. He's 70 behind Favre.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing. There's a few big names in that 250 to 220 range, like Rivers, Eli, Peyton. And then Favre jumps them all by, like, 100 games.
Yeah, that's sick.
Criminal stuff. I was not aware of that. And then the last one I'll shout out is also one that makes no sense to me. And I love, no pun intended, I love Oral Hershiser. 59 consecutive scoreless innings. Crazy.
Oh, that's a really good one.
That's a nuts stat. Two that should be higher on this ESPN list. In my opinion. Doug Williams, you wrote that in 2013. Doubt you're listening, but you misranked that list. Miles Russell could be starting some crazy streaks of his own. Maybe, like, most professional cuts made before you can drive a car. That might be one that will never get broken, because he did get the invite to the Bermuda Classic on the tour. I have a ton of thoughts.
Set the stage. Who's Miles Russell?
Miles Russell is a 15-year-old who played on the Corn Ferry last week. He's, you know, been a golf prodigy basically since he was 6 years old. Drive, chip, and putt, runner up. U.S. Ryder Cup, U.S. Junior Players Champion, has set a number of youngest to do this records. The newest one being making a tour and finish, or making a Korn Ferry Tour cut and finishing inside the top 25. He fired off like, three or two rounds in the 60s. And had a three, yeah. Shot a 66 on Sunday. Was that it? With two bogeys?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, that is insane.
Like, puts Charlie Woods to shame. I think they're the same age.
Yeah, they are. And he's like, my immediate take when looking at him is like, he's tiny. Like,
yeah,
he's all the physics and purity of a golf swing, like, exemplified. He hits the ball so far and so well with such a small frame. Like, as he continues to get bigger and like more athletic, like, it could be a Ludwig kind of situation. He seems like he could be a machine.
It made me think just how, like, professionalized or like, everything about the amateur game in a lot of things, including golf, like, the people, you know, you find someone who's like a prodigy and they are on that path. And like, with technology now, like, it's not an artist's path at all. Like, it is totally a like science of like, we are going to make you into like this specimen that is designed to do like one thing and only one thing. But I give him like a ton of credit. Like, it is incredible that he went out and did that at 15 on the Korn Ferry Tour against some really, really like good players that are trying to like make their careers. Would be so brutal to go up against a 15-year-old and just get smoked if you're like a 35-year-old journeyman. But I think it's awesome. We'll stay tuned here.
Yeah, I was playing that game on Sunday of like, this person lost to a 15-year-old. It's maybe not a lot of names that like the regular fan is going to be familiar with, but like, he beat out some pretty significant individuals. Trey Mullinax ended up leapfrogging him, which is good to see. But like, there were some people, let's see if I can find him, from last week. Castillo, the Puka Shells kid from Florida State. A legitimate All-American in the SEC or ACC, excuse me. A member of the Walker Cup. Finished behind him. Let's see, Diaz. Sam Bennett from A&M. You know, like,
of course,
finished behind him. That's Cole Hammer, Texas All-American. Finished behind him. Like, he's gonna, you would assume at this point, just walk in. I don't know if he'll play college golf, walk in and just crush everybody.
Yeah, that's a good question. He probably will, right? He probably will go to college.
I don't think, obviously, Akshay has gotten that win now, but I don't think the route has been, the straight to pro route has been given enough credence to totally skip out on college. Like, it's not like baseball, it's not hockey, where the pro route is appealing enough at this point. I think he has to play a few years.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what's available to you if you're 17 coming out of high school. I feel like a lot of international people don't go to college, but I feel like they just have a different path entirely.
Yeah, I think especially with how, I don't know, maybe, God forbid, Livs gets a hold of him. Like, that seems to be the only stable income you can guarantee yourself as a teenager in golf. But
yeah,
like, PGA Tour U is so well supported now, where if you're a kid who's this good, like, he'll lock up a card, you would think, as soon as he's eligible with his college points. So it just seems like the safest path.
Yeah. Dude, we should finish with, did you see this PGA Live rumor in terms of what the merger would look like?
I saw, like, on the back half of the Rory's going to leave rumor, but I didn't get the details of what it would look like.
I think this was legitimately totally made up, but it was a fun thought exercise, which is essentially just two conferences on the same tour. You know, the new like PGA Tour Enterprises.
Yeah.
The comp that people were making was like the AFC versus the NFC, like in football.
Okay. That'd be
where
sweet.
It's essentially like you play only against your field, you know, during the season, and then the playoffs, which is basically just like the majors,
yeah,
are when everyone comes together. And I could actually sort of see that world being pretty interesting.
I would love that. Like, you have to find a really good balance of who gets what money. I hate to like think about the issues immediately.
I think that's coming out tomorrow. I saw something where they're announcing the equity grants per player tomorrow.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Because my first thought would be like, sign me up for the Mega Money League, or I guess you're like when it's one entity, yeah. Sign me up for the East Coast League where I can play in Florida and Harbor Town. I don't know. It'd be very interesting to see how they assign people and like.
I think it will basically be live versus like. I think I don't know if they'll actually move people around. Like it might just be the way that the tours are now, but
okay.
Under the same entity and I think the same tournament formats.
Okay, I mean that would be incredibly interesting.
I don't know what happens to like the cliques, the Smoke and Aces.
But... Yeah, I'm like, what happens to like the team, like the fourth guy on the Australia roster? Like, do we still keep paying him? Like, does Ryan Fox want to get a bigger piece of the pie and join the Live League like now so that he can guarantee himself? Like, my only fear with that is if that seems to be the writing on the wall, everyone jumps ship like with 6 months to go. Is that like a possibility?
Well, what would happen is all of the money ends like today. If you've gotten paid by Liv, you basically have made your money.
It's over.
And then everything that is currently in the Liv like winnings pool rolls into the PGA pool. Everything just goes up there, but it's I think equally distributed. And then the equity grants are what's going to make the people who have stayed on the PGA tour, you know, whole, so to speak, to try and come close to what sort of like the initial buyouts were for Liv. It won't be anything close to what like Brooks got or John Rahm. But I think the idea is like Rory will get like $10 million up front and then like just prize pools will go up everywhere.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think that's interesting and I like it. And it's great for Mr. Monahan and it's great for the PGA equity holders. I still feel slighted and bored. Like this won't make me tune into either one of those two events. That seems like what we have now, except Billy Horschel has equity.
Yeah. Congrats to Billy Ho on the win this weekend, by the way.
Shout out. He gets
in the Dominican.
It feels like, all right, like we'll just watch them go head to head in the four majors and like maybe one other Super Bowl type thing.
Well, I think the thing would be interesting if like they rotated weekends.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And like the points are all the same. Like it's the format is the same, but you're sort of watching one group versus the other group. And then you sort of still have this conversation of like, well, we don't really know who's better until the majors. But maybe that's like a healthier version of it.
Okay. I mean, I hate to be the eternal pessimist, but like, I'm sure they can find one brain in the sports world who can set up a year-long format that has intrigue every week. Like, it should be much easier with both sides working together. So I'm excited, overall excited for that.
We'll see.
A great tie-in to close the show. Shout out the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Honor. A lot of stuff about the original AFL-NFL merger as the Chiefs being one of those broker franchises, like the OG Super Bowls, the third Super Bowl that the Chiefs were in.
Yeah,
that would be cool to see. Like, it would be very cool to see that occur for, like, modern day.
Yeah.
With FU money on the table.
Yeah, that'll be sweet.
Speaking of FU money, I want a four-word thought I saw your tweet about Taylor swearing with that chart. Four-word review, the new album.
Oh, I don't have it yet. I need to go listen.
It sucks. Shut up is my four-word review.
That's yours?
That's
mine. That's what I heard is not. I heard it is. It's like a Rorschach test for, are you just like a Taylor stan, or are you actually an informed listener? I've heard it sucks.
Terrible. Hate it. That, I won't say any more than my four-word review.
Yeah. By the way, this chart, if you don't follow me on Twitter, follow me at AC Wins. I put up dope charts. But
the best charts.
This one was like all of the swear words that Taylor Swift has on her albums. And it was like 10 years ago, like literally wouldn't say the word heck. And now on this new album, it's awesome.
I don't want to get into it because I don't want to like talk about work. But I got blasted today for being like, she needs to stop swearing. And the stans were like, oh, are you mad when other artists swear? Like, why is it just Taylor? I was like, it's so different. Like, here's this track. So,
all right, we're off the rails.
All right, have a good week.
All right, see ya.
Swing it like a boomerang, a tank, come around, round, wanna hit the top, top. Ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Chip, pop, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud.
Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far. Then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the,
ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Tree. I want my birthdays all day long, let the bogeys go and say, hey.
Ooh, la, 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 hey.
You wanna play with the pros now?
Hey.
You gotta hit it in the hole now?
Hey.
You wanna reach that top, yeah?
Hey.